That's Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you how enlightening and truthful and straightforward it is with us. God, please help us today from this passage. Anoint thy servant, the pastor of our church today, as he comes. Use him for this task to help us see what you have for us in the Word of God today. And Father, before I end my prayer, if there's somebody in this room that does not know for sure that they're going to heaven when they die, I pray they'd get it settled before they leave today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask you now to check your cell phones and make sure that they are turned to vibrate or turned off. If it goes off, now I want you to listen to me. If it goes off during the service and we hear it, the military has one of those unmanned drones going over the top of the building this morning. And as soon as your cell phone goes off, it's going to dial in on that cell phone signal. And when you go out and get in your car and you drive down the street, it's going to shoot a hellfire missile in the back of your seat of your car and burn you to a crisp. So please, please make sure it's turned off, okay? That ought to scare the fire out of you right there. Anyway, so help us with this now. I'm going to ask now that everyone sit still and listen very carefully for a few minutes. September the 11th, 2001, this nation was struck by an enemy. For now almost 9 years, we have been at war. Americans are spilling their blood on foreign shores to preserve and protect our freedoms here. If you look at the expanse of human history, take it all together in one big lump, there's been somewhere between 28 and 30 years of peace on this earth in 6 millennia of human history. There's always been a war going on somewhere. But I find that there is a warfare that goes on and has been going on since the very first man and woman ever walked this earth. And it is a spiritual warfare. Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning. That warfare, that spiritual warfare, has two fronts, two battle fronts. The first one is an internal warfare. It goes on in here. The second one is external. That goes on in the world and life in which we live. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about the internal warfare we face. Look at the Apostle Paul's statement here in Romans chapter 7. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. Some say maybe the greatest Christian. I don't think that's really fair to qualify one as the greatest of all Christians, but you'd have a hard time putting a lot of people in the category of this man. Apostle Paul was maybe one of the most dedicated Christians that ever lived. Gave his life for the cause of Christ, cut his head off. Executioner chopped his head off for the cause of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul started churches after his salvation. He started churches in his ministry that went all the way around the Mediterranean Crescent, jumped over to Spain and then to Wales and came to America. And you have the gospel because of the Apostle Paul, largely. This man was a great Christian. Listen to this statement he made in Romans 7 and 23. But I see another law in my members, notice this statement, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall release me from the body of this death? Listen here, look at me. That's one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. And he said, there is a war going on inside of me. Every child of God has this warfare going on. It's in here. It's in the heart. It's in the mind. He said again, look at verse 23. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. It's a battle issue. He's talking about a warfare that takes place in heart. Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning. Friend, this spiritual warfare that goes on inside of us, this battle that we all face and fight in our lives, it's very real. Now, as with warfare, there are victors and there are victims. There are those who win and there are those who lose. This warfare is no different. This battle that goes on inside of the heart and life of every child of God, this is a warfare you and I must understand some things about today. I'm going to talk to you about that, and I want you to listen to me very carefully, but I want us to consider, first of all, this morning that we need to have this kind of warfare. It's very important we have a warfare going on inside of us. You say, preacher, why in the world would I want to have a battle inside of me? Because it means that you're a Christian. You know, when God chastens His children, chastises His children, Hebrews 12 tells us that it's one of the things that's good about chastening from the Lord is it proves you're a child of God, that you're not illegitimate. And the word the Bible uses is very strong. There's another good thing about this thing, this warfare that goes on inside of us. It proves you are a child of God. No, if there is no conflict inside of you, Christ is not there then. We are all born. Now look at me. We are all born with a nature, a sin nature that wants to do wrong. We're all born with that. You don't have to teach children to do wrong initially. They do it by nature. That's a sin nature we all have. We are born with that, and it wants us to do wrong. It does not love the Bible, does not love God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8 that this nature, this sin nature, actually is enmity with God. It means an enemy of God. You have that inside of you. So do I. We were born with that nature. That nature will not submit to the law of God. It will not. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, God puts inside of you a new creature, a new nature. This nature is sinless and pure. You are not, but the nature God put inside of you, that new nature, it is sinless. And it loves God. It loves the Bible. It loves what's right. And guess what? You've got a fight on your hands. Now, unless you were saved at birth, and that's not possible, your sin nature had a head start in your life. It was there longer than your new nature was, even if you were saved as a child. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you have inside of you a nature, a sin nature. The Bible calls it the flesh, the old man, the sin nature, and it hates God, hates the Bible, doesn't want to do right, will not submit to the Bible. Will not. And the moment you trust Christ, God puts a new nature in there that loves God and loves the Bible and loves right. And those two natures, that's where the war is. That old nature pulling on that life, trying to get you to come back to where you were, do what you should not do. That's the old nature that lives inside of you. You want to memorize some difficult scripture? Memorize Romans chapter 7. Start about verse 14. The things that I would not, that do I. The things that I do not, that I would. You read it over and you go, what in the world is he talking about? The wording is difficult to follow, but it's perfect because here's the thing. He's saying, you know what? Here's the greatest Christian ever lived, Paul, saying, the things I know I'm supposed to do, I don't wind up doing that very often. And the things I'm not supposed to do, that I wind up doing. He said, and there's this war going on inside of me. Now, if he had that war, friend, as a child of God, you need to have it also. So to say it's a good thing to have a warfare inside of us sounds funny, but the truth is it's a good thing. It means you're a child of God. It means that the Son of God, Christ, has saved you and you have trusted Christ and there is a new nature inside of you. If there is no war, no battle, no birth. Better make sure we have this warfare. It's a good thing in that one respect. It's also important for us to understand in this warfare, we have to win this battle. America is in a desperate fight right now, today, and has been for 9 years, against Islamic extremism that hates this country. And we get around all the political correct language. Not everybody in Islam hates America. Not all Muslims hate America. We understand it. No one with sense believes that. But there is a brand, a version of Islamism today, of that movement, that religion that hates this country and hates us because we're a so-called Christian nation. That's the bottom line. And we cannot afford to lose this fight. If we won't fight it in Iraq and Afghanistan, we're going to be fighting it on the shores of America. They are here, and they're going to come after us. I'm not trying to get you paranoid this morning. I'm trying to get you to understand, we can't lose this war. We can't just put our hands in the air and say, okay, guys, no more. Let's all get along. Can't we all do the Rodney King thing, you know? Can't we all just get along? It's not going to work like that. We can't lose that fight. We cannot. It is essential. We take it to the enemy, or they're going to take it to us. They've already done that. Now, the point is this morning. In this warfare that goes on inside of you and me, understand something. There is no neutral territory here. There's no agreement between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says the flesh lusts against the spirit. That strong desire. And the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary, the Bible says. There's no agreement here. There's not going to be any peace pact between your flesh and your spiritual nature. You have to win the warfare for the cause of Christ in your life. Because if you don't, my friend, defeat, failure is catastrophic. Failure for the Christian is giving in to the flesh. Letting the warfare of the flesh, just say, I'm not going to do it anymore. I just give in, I give up. It's just easier to live the fleshly life. No, it is not, because the consequence is a carnal life. And the Bible says to live by the flesh brings death in our lives. Physically, yes, but spiritually, definitely. You do not lose your salvation, but you do lose your fellowship with God. You become a carnal person. You live by a fleshly nature that has hatred and violence and bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking and all the things that you could imagine. To lose this warfare is catastrophic for the child of God. And by the way, you think it's just about you. It's not. It's about everybody that's around you. Not everyone around you suffers. They all have to deal with that anger, the temper, the bitterness. They have to deal with the violence. They have to deal with the life that's lived as a carnal life. They have to suffer the consequences of the worst evidence of carnality, selfishness. Immorality is a plague in our churches today. I've been pastoring this church 26 plus years. We went on 20 some years before we ever saw anybody in this church, regular, faithful part of this church, commit adultery in their life. It's become a plague today. Do you know why? Well, the world is pretty fleshly. The world's always been that way. We as God's people are living too much on the carnal side of life. And because of that, we're bringing the sins of the world into our churches and into our homes and into our families. Don't you understand? We can't lose the fight. To lose the fight is going to cost you and your family and everybody that's around you. And guess what that means? Mike Johnson gets carnal, fleshly. I yield to the warfare in my heart and my life. Guess what happens? It's going to cost me my marriage. It's going to cost me my life. It's going to cost me my children. It's going to affect my grandchildren. Look what happens. I've now affected and tainted, literally generational affected because of my carnal life. You see, it's a battle. We have to win this war. We can't just surrender. We can't just give in. One more encouraging statement, we'll get to the message, and that's this. It's a warfare that never ends. The moment you trust Christ, till Jesus comes to get you, or you close your eyes and depart this life, from that moment of salvation till you depart this life, the fight is on, friend. It's going to be that way for the rest of our days. Well, who in the world wants to live with a war inside of them? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, it not only proves that I'm a saved person, I know Christ, it also, my friend, is a part of the process and progress of the child of God. Look here. America is a nation whose freedoms were purchased by the blood of patriots. We did not get freedom because America declared itself free. We have freedom because America paid for its freedoms and continues to pay for their freedoms. Freedom isn't free. There are a lot of today who run around bandy this thing about, I'm American, I have my rights. Did you pay for those rights? Did you? You had someone who did. I guarantee you someone paid for the freedom you enjoy. This thing about having a war going on inside of us, it's a good thing because it means we're going to have to pay a price to do what God wants us to do and to be what God wants us to be. But freedom is worth it. Oh, friend, it is one of the Bible said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now that's real freedom. Freedom from not having to live by the carnal nature. Freedom from not having to live by my flesh. Freedom from selfishness. Freedom from the things and the corruption of this life. Free. Truly free now. How do we then? How do we win the warfare within? Number one, we must fight this warfare one day at a time. Now listen here. Listen. The truth of the matter is, friend, the moment you got saved till the day you die, it's going to be a battle, but you only have to fight it one day at a time. Today is February the 28th, last day of the second month of 2000 and whatever this is, 2010. You know what I have to do in this war that goes on inside of Mike Johnson? You know how I have to fight this thing? One day at a time. Do you ever realize the creative work of God helps us to understand that as God made this life to revolve around a 24-hour day, 6 days of creation, not only proves the creative work of God, but it also shows us this principle. All I've got to do is do my best for God today. That's it. One day. Get up today, do my best for God today. Get the grace of God in my life today. Today, I've got to fight the fight, but just today. Tomorrow will come if it does. Today is today. Yesterday's failures are behind me. Yesterday's successes are back there. Now today, that means Christian, look at me. That's why you got to get out of bed in the morning. You got to get your Bible out and read your Bible and spend time with God every day of your life. Look at Romans chapter 7. Look at it. That statement he makes there seems almost parenthetical, but I want you to see it. Verse 22, right before the war. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know what he's saying? Yeah, I've got a fight going on inside of me. Things I'm not supposed to do, I do those things too often. The things I should do, I don't find myself doing them as often as I should. Oh, but I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He said, I take the word of God and I nurture my spirit and soul and I get strength from the word of God and I walk with my God and I talk with him and I keep my heart right before the Lord. The spirit of God controls me. He gives me the strength for the fight today and I take it up. And if I have a day where it doesn't go well, then I get up and I ask the forgiveness of God and the grace of God upon my life, and I get up tomorrow and I try it again, and I just got to take it on one day at a time. We sing that old song, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. But think about it for a moment. If I look at my life as a daily, every I'm warfare for the rest of my life, that would wear anybody out. Woke up this morning, figured out if I was, then I figured out where I was, then I figured out what day it was, got out of bed this morning, yep, Sunday, Lord's Day, here we go, swung my leg over, put one foot on the ground, swung the other leg over, put the other foot on the ground, opposite sides of the bed, but anyway, and I stood up, snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies, not cereal, my bones, I stood up, and the war started. Flesh says, get back in bed. Don't you know how old you are? You need sleep. Flesh starts working right away. I mean, starts working on me. You should be drinking coffee. You wouldn't have all this problem in your life. That's all carnal stuff. And I get it. I'm sorry. I'm preaching the Bible, brother. Just relax. Invitation's coming for you in a minute. Flesh just starts working on me. Oh, man. It's Sunday, you're going to go to church, people are going to sit there and sleep while you're preaching to them. Come on, get back in bed, what's the point? New nature. Don't listen to that jerk. This is what goes on inside of me, I don't know how it is with you. Don't listen to that jerk. Get your Bible, let's go. We got a day today, God's going to do something today, let's go. There's things to be done. And listen to me, that war started right off the bat. Crack of dawn, 30 o'clock this morning, the war's on. I'm driving to church this morning. I read my Bible. I prayed. I'm ready to preach today. I'm driving to church this morning. Somebody pulls in front of me. Driving the speed limit. The nerve! Then I have to get around them. pass by, look at them. It's somebody from our church. Hey, praise the Lord. Good morning. Slow down. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a daily fight. I just have to win the war one day at a time. That's all I have to do. Listen to me. And so if it doesn't go well one day, and I get up tomorrow and I say, I'm sorry, Father, forgive me. I get my Bible out and I say, Lord, it wasn't a good day yesterday for you. I failed too many times. And I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. I want to get up today. I want to do right now. Father, help me today to do it. And I put yesterday behind me under the blood of Jesus Christ, and I get up today and I start again. See, I'm sick and tired of starting over and over again. God doesn't get sick and tired of it. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful means He always will. Just means He always has. And God forgives and God forgets. How about you? Why can't we get up and try it again? One day at a time. How many of you have been in the military? You've been in the military. Raise your hand, please. Would you this morning? You know what that's like when you get close to getting, when you're finished with your hitch, your time in the service. Huh? Remember what you used to call it? Getting short. And you got a calendar out and you start marking it off. My last year in the service, I was in Greenland, in the Arctic, where it's unbelievably cold. We had days up there of 100 below zero. Nasty. Suppose flesh freezes in 15 seconds. You walk from one building to the other, and anything that's uncovered would freeze before you get to the next building. You grabbed a metal door handle with a bare hand. On the outside of a door, your hand would stick to it. It'd freeze, and you'd rip it off because it would burn it. It'd tear the skin off your hands. It's an awful place. Say, how'd you get there? I volunteered. That's what happened. I come down to the last part of my hitch in the service, and I was not going to re-enlist, and I came to the end of that. I had a calendar on my wall. And every day I'd mark off a day. Somebody say, well, how many you got, Johnson? I got 38 days, 23 hours, 42 minutes. Getting close now. And as time got closer and closer, I just kept marking off the days. Then the Freedom Flight came and I got on that airplane and I flew home. You want to know something, ladies and gentlemen? Look at me. The truth of the matter is, this battle between what's inside of you, that flesh that wants you to do wrong, that pulls on you, and that Spirit of God that's there that wants you to do right, that pushes you to do what's right, you just fight it one day at a time. But you got to fight it walking with God. You've got to fight it with His help and His strength. We win the battle one day at a time. We win the battle because we depend on the Lord. Look at verse 24 and 25. He said, O wretched man that I am, Romans 7, 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall release me from the body of this death? The answer is verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a nice religious statement, but in reality, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jesus said in John 15 and verse number 5, without me, ye can do nothing. That's true. When I get that attitude in my life, I'm going to fight this one day at a time. But I've got to have the help of God today. I've got to have God's strength. I've got to have God's strength, His nourishment and His encouragement and His lifting and His forgiveness and His grace and His mercy and His help and the power of God in my life today. I can fight this fight today. God can help me today. But I've got to have a dependence upon Him. Here's the greatest Christian who ever lived. Not only said he had a war, he said he couldn't do it by himself. And neither can you. Oh, here's what happens. Watch me now. We get up, put our Bible aside, get in some television, rush off into our day, listen to music that's carnal, get around people that are fleshly, have a mind that's not right, spend an entire day outside the things of God in our life and wonder why we're having trouble with our flesh. Because you're feeding the flesh. You feed it. You give those carnal things. You go to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread and the world's trying to teach you something, trying to give you something fleshly to put it in front of your face. If I don't have the right nurturing, the right strengthening of my God in my life, believe me, friend, the warfare is over. Don't you love these people who watch a sporting event? These bobsled people. Those guys are nuts. Especially the luge guys who get on a piece of wood and go flying down that thing at 90 miles an hour. Now, God, ain't nobody that dumb. There's just no way. I don't care what kind of metal they give you, friend. It's no good if you're all wrapped around a pole somewhere. I mean, that's just no good. The idea of this whole thing, people say, well, he should have gone a little further into the curve. And you do it at 90 miles an hour on a skateboard. Let me try. You see, you do that sometime. I love it. Watching the sporting event, why didn't he throw the football? So you get six people weigh 300 pounds running after you want to kill you. You would be throwing that ball anywhere you could get it just to get rid of the cotton-picking thing. Tell me it's the way it is. It's amazing how people are when it comes to this thing in the Christian life and this need this need in our life for dependence on the Lord. Yeah, you got to be kidding me. I'm 56 years old. My carnal nature is 56 years old. I was saved at the age of 9. That means 47. 47. God bless you, man, for giving up your age. 47 years. I have a new nature that's 47 years old. My new nature is never going to get older than my old nature. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to be able to outsmart my old nature. You can't. You can't fool the devil. You can't outsmart Satan, and you're not going to trick your flesh. Because your flesh, my friend, is much more lethal than Satan ever was. Because your carnal nature is who you are. It's inside of you. That's the stuff that works you like you can't believe. Yes. I have to have God's help. I've got to have God's help. Do you understand, friend? Look at me. Do you understand that's why I stay home from church? I don't read my Bible. I don't do the things I'm supposed to do as a Christian. And then I wonder why I got a problem with my temper. Duh. I don't obey the word of God in my life. I sit there and watch junk on television, listen to junk on the music, have everything carnal and fleshly in my life, and then I wonder why I'm having problems with lust and immorality. Excuse me. What do you expect to happen? You feed the flesh, you're going to have flesh problems. But if you feed the Spirit, the word of God, you have a dependence upon the Lord. Oh, Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall release me from the body of this death? He goes, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. That's who. The Lord's help will get me there. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. Yes, you can. You can do what the Bible says. You can obey the word of God. You can live by the Bible. You can do what it tells you to do. In a world that's all messed up and gone crazy today. But you can still do it. But it's not you. It's Him. It's that book in your life. And you win or lose the war right there. Because every one of us this morning, we had a choice to make. You chose today whether you wanted to be spiritual or not. You don't have to choose to be carnal. Just don't be spiritual and you will be carnal. We can fight this battle. God will help us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll just read you the verse, please. It says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual things. The Word of God, the Son of God, the Spirit of God working in my life. That's how it works. And that's the way it does work too, by the way. I win this war because I must fight this warfare and realize I cannot give up. I cannot give up. Don't let some defeats or failures be your final defeat. Remember this. Whatever it is that pushed you to the edge, stepping off was yours. Whatever circumstances that brought you to the place where you just were going to give up on the Christian life and walk off, quitting was still yours, though. That's your decision. We got this whining, simpering attitude in our society today. Well, it's not my fault, and I couldn't help it, and it was all this, and I'm codependent, and I got this, and I got that. And everybody's got problems that are not their fault. It's all the external things of our lives that force it. You look at me. My friend, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Look here. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you understand this morning, friend, that there's a God in heaven greater than anything you and I face? That when we come to a quitting place, when you have a bad day, you ever have one? You ever have a day where just nothing goes right, everything goes wrong, and you think if I get my hands on an Uzi, I'm spraying a crowd of people down, I can't take it. Now, I don't have that problem, but I've heard of it before. I mean, the other day I was going to the hardware store to get something at the hardware store. Nothing was going right that day. Nothing. I was aggravated. I was bugged. And I said, Lord, nobody better mess with this guy today. Mm-mm. Not today. I had measured these blinds for the sliding glass doors. And like any good man, I measured them. And then somehow things shrunk. I don't know what happened. I think it was a bad ruler. I think it was a rubber ruler or something. I'm not sure what happened. I was only like 8 inches off or something, you know, not bad. And then I had these blinds, and they were cut, so you can't take them back. I haul them back to the store. I go in there, and I'm thinking, okay, this guy, I'm going to have to eat $40 worth of blinds on this thing. And so, you know, I'm going to ask him. Young kid standing there, of course, named Peter. I said, Peter, I messed up. I mismeasured on some of these blinds. They've cut them already. I know policy is custom blinds cannot be returned because they were cut. And I messed up, Peter, and I'm sorry. I said, but look at me, son. You want to save a man's marriage? That had nothing to do with it. My wife was not upset about it or anything. And I wasn't lying. I was just getting really close. I said, son, look at me. How about a little mercy for a guy messed up on a measuring tape? He goes, well, sir, the policy, I know what the policy is. I understand the policy. How about a little mercy? What do you say, guy? Huh? He goes, well, see, I know you can't send them back. I know the manufacturer doesn't want them. I know it wasn't defective, and I know it was my fault, but how about a little break, pal? What do you say? And he goes, I'm sorry. Never mind. All right, never mind. Can I just leave them here? I'll go get the other blinds. I'll get them, and it's all right. And I'm walking around thinking, Johnson, you can read a tape measure. You can read a tape measure, for goodness sakes. And I go over there, and I get the blinds, and I carry them back up to the counter, and I get ready to pay for them and the other blinds that are, now I'm going to figure out where to put 74-inch blinds in the windows. I don't have any 74-inch windows in my house. And I'm thinking about this, and this lady named Brenda, sweet lady, manager, says, come over here. She says, we're going to exchange these for you, and it's okay. We'll take care of it, because this is what she said. Because we heard about your marital problems. Well, it could have been a divorce. I don't know. I said, thank you, ma'am. It was 35 years of a good marriage about to go down the tubes. Thank you so much. I said, it wasn't really that bad. She goes, it's okay. Well, let's exchange them. I said, thanks. I appreciate it. I got the blinds and I'm going outside. It's raining. Heading out the door, and the Holy Spirit says, you dog, you. I said, well, I didn't lie to him. I just said it could be a divorce. That's what I said. And he began to work me over, and oh, my soul, my soul. Said, you take it back and pay for the blinds? No stinking way. Now, listen to me. I was just trying to, you know, whether or not we had Christmas this year. The truth is, when you get down to the fleshly days, ladies and gentlemen, those times where the struggle is in, do you understand if I give in? Look at me. If I just give in and just say, it's just not worth it. The fleshly nature is a powerful, strong nature. It is like a beast inside of you, and it will not be satisfied with capitulation. It wants to destroy your life. It will tear you up. And the next thing you know, friend, you just live by that carnal nature. Like those people out there today, somebody just says boo to them and they want to shoot someone. They have no control of their passions, their principles, no control of their life whatsoever. That could be us, you understand. It will be us if we give up. We have to just keep on. Give me the grace, God, today to do what I must do and to stand where I must stand and live the way I must live. If you have a bad day, then get it under the blood of Jesus. Ask God's forgiveness. Get up the next morning. A just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. Proverbs 24:16 says, you just got to get up one more time. That's all. Just get up one more time, one more day. Let God help you. He'll get you through this thing. And it's a war, friend. It's a battlefield, brother. Not a recreation park. It's a fight and not a game. If my Johnson yields to this fleshly thing, nothing good's going to come out of that. But if I take that battle on one day at a time, I'll never be a great Christian. But I tell you what, I can just keep on the right side of the things of God. And yes, friend, you will find that you're on the winning side. And I don't have to live by my fleshly nature. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.